Today's reading is from Micah chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. If you would like to follow along with me in your pew Bible, it's on page 1444. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and people will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between many people and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Every man will sit under his own vine and under his own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid. For the Lord Almighty has spoken, all of the nations may walk in the name of their gods. We will walk in the name of the Lord, our God, forever and ever. In that day, declares the Lord, I will gather the lame, I will assemble the exiles, and those I have brought to grief. May God bless the reading of his word.
Did you hear the word of the Lord?
Yes.
I'm about the first with happiness to see my friends again all in one place. The Lord gave me something to say, but also someone to see. My dear long friend, longtime friend Toby, again, I'd like to be back to back with Toby if we were the last two good guys on earth in some tough situation. And then someone to see, and that's you, and then something to say, and that's this word that Robin has read, and then somewhere to send. More about that in the sermon itself. Pray for zero means going farther than anyone has gone before into the Muslim world to bring the hope of Jesus Christ to those who are truly the least, the last, and the lost. We are Frontiers, the largest mission agency in the world, wholly devoted to bringing the hope of Jesus Christ to Muslims everywhere, and we've had some early victories. My wife and I were privileged to open up the work in Iraq. 1991, the first missionary family to live in Iraq in a long, long time. We lived among the Kurds, who say they live between Iraq and a hard place. Ha ha. And you know, I have seven teams in northern Iraq there. And it's a lot of pushpins in the maps. If you think of digitally gathering all the churches and mission agencies in the world which are sending to the Muslim world, we are literally able to put the pushpins in the global map now and rejoice in what the Lord has done, but it's too soon to celebrate and too soon to quit, because having put the pushpins in the map, it opens up the great swaths of the Muslim world where there are none. And if we can begin the work among the remaining hundreds of places and hundreds of peoples in the Muslim world to begin with a missionary presence, we will reduce in a countdown from 1,000 places to zero in the next several years. And that's what it means to pray for zero. Pray for zero remaining places in the world where there is no witness, where there is no, where the needs are yet unmet. And if you can think of anything better than that, you'll have to tell me, because I can't. No wonder C.T. Studd said, "If God calls me to be a missionary, I would not stoop to be a king." Now, there are very few songs written about sending missionaries. We all want to hear what's happening on the field. My great privilege is to recruit, train, and send entire new missionary teams to go further, to find where the frontiers are, find where the edge is, and go beyond the bloody edge, as Director of World Vision said in the preface to Toby Nelson's book, The Pastor of Disaster, which is a tremendous name for Toby in any case. To go beyond the edge, to go where there are no footprints, and anybody's in the snow ahead of your footprints, And we can still find those places. We're still finding people like Paul who want to sort out this calling. Do they have the grace to go? This phrase which Paul uses in Ephesians 3:8 about grace to go. Everybody's familiar with the grace of Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved. I want to direct your attention to Ephesians 3:8. For though I am the very least of the saints, this grace has been given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the fathomless riches of Christ. This is not for the heroes. This is not for the victims. This is not for the superstars. This is a calling from God on pretty normal people to leave all that's familiar, to sell their possessions, to cry to say goodbye at an airport, and to buy a one-way ticket and bring the hope of Jesus Christ to those farther than you. Look, I know we've got to bring back the city of Concord. We've got to bring back the cities around. We've got to take back the night where we live. But I plead the blood of Jesus Christ for the children who are beyond anybody's voice in the gospel this morning. And love finds a way, and we will find a way to send the people to the last, the least, the lost. And if you can think of anything better than that, as I might have said. Going where there are no campfires. Campfires means churches. And then I know the places beyond where there's total darkness, where it's black like ink, the ink of a squid, the squid's ink, and the paint is just so dark in the night, it's almost a living thing. And you can hear the cries of the miserable and the children out there. I know that the world cannot end like it is because of the scriptures we're looking at this morning. That in the latter days, the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be lifted up above all the mountains, and the nations will stream up to it, and they shall say, come, let us go to the mountain of the house of the Lord, that we may learn his ways. This must happen before the end. The world cannot end like it is now. Not with this level of misery and hopelessness. Not with a world without hope, without God, beyond our own churches. Special joy of the people of the Lord is to enter into the salvation of the Lord, but there's also a special acquaintance with grief for the prophets of the Lord and the people of the book of God, because they know the world isn't supposed to be like this. Can't end like this. We know what the world was supposed to be like, what families were supposed to be like, what the interaction of neighbors were supposed to be like, and we get the glimpse of this. It's going to all come together again through Jesus Christ and the people of the Lord. Think of Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Love one another with mutual affection. There's enough in that text just to save the world. But the next one is also the Lord's verse. Outdo one another in showing honor to one another. Lord God, help us to live this way. Mutual affection and outdoing one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent for the Spirit and serve the Lord. There's enough in Romans 12, 10 and 11 just to save the world. And it's going to come back. It's got to come back. Because of the promises of God. For the people beyond. You stood with Jen and me. My wife's here today. Jen, hello, Jen, say hello. There you are. My wife's here today. What do you think about that? Been married 41 years. Isn't that correct? Now, I told her if I knew she was going to be this beautiful after 41 years of marriage, I would have started taking better care of myself a long time ago. So there's very few psalms, Pastor Toby, written about sending missionaries to the farther places. So I had to write one myself. The only song I ever wrote. And seeing this beautiful grand piano here, what to hinder me from embarrassing myself? May I just, if you don't mind, I'll go over to the keys here and sing that. Yeah. Imagine you're in our office on Thursday morning. It's the morning we pray out new missionaries. I mean, lay hands on them. And they're about to leave. This is all that we live for, is sending out new teams to go. We prayed out somebody last Thursday. She's going to the country of Chad. Chad! I'm not sure there's an IKEA there. I'm not sure there's a McDonald's within 100 miles of where she's going to live. I heard it's hot on Christmas Day. So you've got to think of this grace to go, right? Though I am the very least of the saints, this grace has been given to me. That's all we do, is help people sort out a calling from God. I don't want to lay a guilt trip on any person to say, unless you're called to stay, you better go. Because I don't believe in that. I believe that we have to help people sort it out. Most people are called to stay and right in the corner where they are. But some are called to go. Help us to figure that out. You've been doing that. So here's a song about Thursday morning in my office, and this guy is observing what it means to pray for those who are about to go out. He's kind of a guest like you might be. I kept my eye on you when we prayed you out today. I know you said, don't cry for me, but what can I say? To me you're brave and noble, faithful and true. You were blessed to be a blessing, and I have my eyes on you. And there they go, footprints in the farthest snow, going where there are no pushpins in any missionary maps. As God sent his son, so we are sending you to the final frontiers everywhere. They go there. I read the book of Romans where you said you got your call to go beyond the ranges like the Apostle Paul. You asked me not to say that those are God-forsaken lands, for the day is coming soon when they'll all be in his hands. And there they go, footprints in the farthest snow, going where there are no pushpins in any missionary maps. As God sent his son, so we are sending you to the final frontiers everywhere. They go there. I saw you by the light of the campfire, talking with your friends, pointing toward the night. And when you stood and asked if we would pray for you, someone said, you know there are a lot of needs here too. But there's a far horizon where the Father's calling you. So go with God and go with our love too. We have our eyes on you. This great text beat their swords into plowshares. I live in Arizona. One morning the phone rang. It was the producer of a television show. His name is John Marks. He's a producer for 60 Minutes. He said, I'm coming to your office to do your story. Nobody else is living in peace among the Muslims that we know of and trying to help them. He didn't ask if he could come. He said, I'm coming. I thought about my responsibility for the safety of hundreds of missionaries and children. What should I do? We sat down at the table and we talked. Mr. Marks was a good man. He said the story of Frontiers was unusual. He wanted everyone to know about our mission, spreading the teachings of Jesus during troubled times. I took a statue of St. Francis of Assisi in my hands and I put it down on the table. And I told Mr. Marks this story. This statue was given to me by a Muslim man who came to faith in Jesus Christ and was baptized as a Christian from a Muslim background. He became a Christian through a Frontiers missionary. And this statue means to this Muslim man, now a Christian, how he believes the world should be remade. And then I quoted for this producer the great prayer of St. Francis. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. And Mr. Mark said, yes, that's the story we want. I said, Mr. Marks, if you tell this story, you will damage the very mission that you're trying to promote. And so he was a good man, and he agreed not to tell our story. But this is what I would have told if I had the chance. See the mighty man with his hammer held high. He will bring it down upon the iron sword. He will reshape it into an instrument of peace. Behold, already the reshaping has begun. If there were ever a time to heed the message of the prophet Micah, that time is now. What does the Middle East need now, and indeed the whole world? I answer, the Middle East needs to come to the mountain of the Lord. They need to hear upon the mountain the words that the Lord spoke. They need to turn to the way of the Lord, Jesus Christ, and his teachings in the Sermon on the Mount. He taught us that we should love our enemies and pray for them. He taught us to become peacemakers, and he taught us that God is love. Robert Woodbury, a faculty member at the University of Texas in the sociology department, himself the son of a missionary and teacher of mine, Dudley Woodbury. Woodbury has been researching the question of how the free world came into existence, and he has made a remarkable discovery. Using the tools of the science of sociology, it turns out that the number one force for good in the world today to bring about the kind of world that we all aspire to see happen and that we are beginning to somewhat take part in what we call the free world, is the success of Christian missions. And there's not a second force that can even compare. In his published paper, The Missionary Roots of Liberal Democracy, don't think of liberal, okay, in terms of politics. This is about the life of liberty and justice for all, the coming into the world of education for all, the coming into the world of dignity for the marginalized. In his published paper, Woodbury makes the case for how the principles of liberty and justice for all, the ethics of caring for the disabled and the marginalized, the triumph of universal education and respect for women and children, and the respect for private property and peaceful relations between people and nations derive their design from the doctrines of the Bible. Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, that we may learn the way of the Lord. The law of the Lord shall proceed from Jerusalem. The text of the scriptures from Zion. And then the text says, he will arbitrate between strong nations, far and wide. He will settle disputes between the nations of the world. And then the great text, they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into prunings. Do you want to see a world where people would begin to reshape the instruments of damage and destruction into the instruments of good and prosperity and building? Then you need to send missionaries to where the needs are so great. This is the greatest possible solution. It's how the gospel came to our own people. Look, if we had time this morning, we'd talk about what it was like for the Germans and the Scots and the Irish or the Asians or the African American or wherever you've come from. And take that story back to how we all got a campfire and we will find missionaries. The church is built on the foundation of the apostles. We've kind of lost that story. We don't remember how we're free to warm our hands, you know, and despair about the places that are still beyond the reach of the gospel and conquered and beyond, and do something about it. We forgot how that all began. I tell you, it all began because of long conversation with Jesus Christ and the way of the Lord, the Sermon on the Mount, and the Golden Rule, and the Lord's Prayer, all those things. Now it's not just a hunch. This theory that the Bible is the basis of the free world and a long conversation with the prophet Micah and people like him, which Woodbury is supporting with evidence, has his fellow faculty members grinding their fists in their foreheads and asking, how can we stop this guy? It turns out that Christ said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. So I want to say the best thing you can do to start the free world in the places where it doesn't seem very likely today is to send missionaries and believe the message of Christ. I taught American history and American government for 5 semesters at a university in northern Iraq. I was the first faculty member to ever teach these subjects. My students leaned forward to listen to the best parts of the Declaration of Independence, and to memorize them, because they love to memorize. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They love to memorize the preamble of the Constitution, and they love to memorize, this land is your land, this land is my land. If you want to see the humanitarian ideals that we have begun to fight for, you better send missionaries. Our beloved lady there in the New York Harbor lit her flame from the lightning of the Lord of Liberty, quoting Leviticus 25:10. Our founding fathers quoted Leviticus on that bell, liberty, let liberty be proclaimed throughout the land. The freedoms formed in our Constitution derived from the Westminster Confession, where Presbyterians defended the principle that God alone is Lord of the conscience. That was a long conversation with Jesus Christ and the way of the Lord and the prophet Micah and the prophet Isaiah to get to the place where we would put down our own instruments and stop punishing people thought differently than we are. I tell you, it's a noble and Christian idea. And nowhere else in the world will you finally live to live in peace and affection and dignity for the people to think differently than you and I. Our Lord answers the question, who is my neighbor? This opens our heart to heal the wounds of the world one person at a time. The golden rule has inspired all of us to ask, how can we improve ourselves and our world? With Christ there is regard for the golden rule. Without Christianity, the world is certifiably insane, red in tooth and claw, and I don't have to pull out my app and start looking at news to make you realize that. What is Christianity? I'm going to provoke people today and say I don't believe there's any Christianity in the New Testament because it hadn't had a chance to develop enough yet. Christianity results in a very long conversation with Jesus Christ until society has begun to change marvelously into the kind of picture that Micah saw in the text we read this morning. And in the New Testament period, there wasn't enough time to beat swords into plowshares. And not enough time to let every person sit under his own fig tree and let the children not be afraid. I know a lot of children that are afraid this morning, Pastor Toby. I can hardly stand it. This is the particular lament of the prophets of the people of God. They know how the world is supposed to be. And when Micah foresees, the day will come when every household will live under the shade of his own fig tree, and the children will no longer be afraid because the word of the Lord has been spoken. Then I cry out and I long for it more than I can speak in words. Don't you? So let us not settle for the way things are. Cannot. None of the prophets are calling us to do that. Christianity is the rise of positive human structures that enable all of us to achieve peace and prosperity, law and human dignity, and liberty and justice for all. Society structures that people build on account of the faith of some in the Lordship of Jesus Christ and His teachings, but not all. Where there is Christianity, a free world has become into existence. So here's my long sentence. I can't say it all in one breath. Here's what Christianity is, in my understanding. That long conversation with Jesus Christ leads us to this. Christianity is the God-glorifying, peace-achieving, slavery-ending, family-restoring, wealth-creating, science-supporting, refugee-welcoming, children-protecting, women-respecting, conscience-respecting, patent-granting, healthcare-providing, fault-confessing, truth-exalting, free-enterprise-rewarding, scam-prohibiting, conflict-resolving, anger-quieting, justice-ensuring, animal-protecting, an unborn defending way of the Lord that is being created where communities of Christians begin to win over their own sinful human nature. And that's it in a nutshell. So glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill towards all people. But Christianity is only partially successful. There is much more to lament about ourselves and our world. If we ask how is Christianity doing, we have to say God knows we're falling short. Christianity is the rise of a world made over new by Jesus Christ and a long conversation with His perfect teachings. This conversation, when continued over centuries, always gives rise to the kind of values that we all aspire to believe for, the kind of things that Micah foretold in the Scriptures would Robin told. Oh, that the governments would be upon his shoulders. Oh, that Muslims and all of us would beat their swords into plowshares. This will happen when people are freed from demonic strongholds, where Jesus Christ has brought new life to people, a free world is coming into existence. The producer of 60 Minutes wanted to show what I do. What do? By God's grace, I start the free world in Muslim countries. People who walk in darkness will see a great light. Sending missionaries achieve the breakthroughs that change the world. Some people ask me what's about to happen in the Middle East. I'm going to make a prediction. Get ready to text your friends. You're about to be famous. You're there when it was made. You're going to say that you heard it here first. What's about to happen in the Middle East? I'm not a prophet. I'm not the son of a prophet. I'm from a non-profit organization. What's about to happen in the Middle East? Unexpected things. There, you heard it here first. Watch for it tomorrow in the news. But these unexpected things happen through the one that said, the nations will say, come, let us go to the mountain of the house of the Lord, that we may hear the way of the Lord, that we want to beat our swords into plowshares, spears into pruning hooks. We don't want our children to be afraid anymore, just like you. And so, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, church. This is a costly love. Some will give the last full measure of devotion as missionaries to the Muslim world. But we have to believe that love finds a way. So with the love of God compelling, and the Holy Spirit empowering, and the witness of the martyrs looking down, and the promises of God in play, we're going to attempt great things for God. We're going to expect great things from God. Those of us who gather here today to believe the Lord's goodness and to pray for the intercession of the world, pray that this good news of the gospel will soon and very soon come to pass.